esta noticia ha impactado muchísimo. Ucrania está de luto. Fue atacado el principal hospital pediátrico de Kiev. Nos atiende Svelodov Prokofiev. Svelodov es la voz de Save the Children en Ucrania. Y vuelvo a la primera pregunta que le hacíamos a la doctora esta mañana, que la doctora no tenía la actualización. A lo mejor, Ana, en Save the Children sí saben. Hasta este momento, ¿cuál es el número de muertos y heridos como consecuencia de este ataque? Saludando a nuestro invitado.
Good morning, Mr. Prokofiev. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio. Mr. Prokofiev?
Yes, if you could please translate the question.
Yes, yes. Can you share with us what is the latest update that you guys have in terms of children that have lost their lives and that were injured during the attack?
According to the latest reports, as for Kyiv, we have heard of 4 children being killed, but it's not the hospital attack itself. It's the destroyed residential building in a different district of Kyiv. At hospital itself, we have 7 children reportedly injured. And one might think that is kind of small number of child casualties. But for us, anything but zero is already a tragedy, because children should be protected at all times, and they should be protected of atrocious missile strikes like that. Because if we look at the statistics, yes, throughout this 2.5 years of this war, we will see that 90% of child casualties and civilian casualties have been caused by missile strikes and air strikes similar to that. And this leads to
Mr. Prokofiev. Maybe the question is the total of people dead and people injured, total.
Yeah, if we're talking about totals across Ukraine at the moment, we have more than 40 people killed and more than 150 wounded. The numbers on children I touched on previously, but this all is subject to grow, because we know that in several places, and we know that attacks has touched multiple towns across Ukraine yesterday morning. We know that the rescue operations at some sites are ongoing, so we expect this number to rise as well.
Pues dice que el número total es más de 40 muertos, alrededor de 150 heridos, 4 niños asesinados, no en el ataque en el hospital, sino en otro distrito de Kiev, en un edificio residencial. Nos dice que un número que no sea cero para ellos es una tragedia, porque hay que proteger la vida de los niños de ataques atroces de misiles como estos. Y nos reitera que el número de heridos y muertos puede crecer porque las operaciones de rescate continúan.
Ustedes están en Ucrania desde hace ya 10 años. La pregunta es, ¿qué esperanza de vida tienen hoy los niños supervivientes en Ucrania?
What life expectations do these kids that survive in Ukraine have?
We tend to say that there is technically no safe space in Ukraine for children and their families, because air raid sirens preceding the missile strikes like we witnessed yesterday, they go on and off every day. And this is something that people in Ukraine cannot take lightly, because of the possible aftermath of such strikes, which is multiple casualties and destruction. So children and families are daily being forced into protective shelters, which are more likely to be damp basements or even cellars rather than well-equipped bunkers. This has been an issue in Ukraine even throughout 2.5 years of this war, and it is a state of constant distress and anxiety and fear for their lives, because we have seen the aftermath of this attack, and this is not the only one. It's probably the most gruesome attack of this year when we talk about war in Ukraine, but we have witnessed another devastating strikes taking place regularly all across the country. And, yeah.
Ellos suelen decir que no hay un lugar o un espacio seguro en Ucrania para los niños y sus familias. Estos ataques como el que vimos ayer puede ocurrir o son recurrentes en Ucrania a diario. Nos dice que estos ataques no se pueden tomar a la ligera por las muertes, la destrucción y las consecuencias después de que ocurren. Las familias son forzadas a ir a estos refugios, a ir a estos túneles subterráneos que nos dice no llegan a proteger al 100% a la población, que genera mucho estrés, mucha ansiedad, mucho miedo en las vidas de las personas, ver las consecuencias de estos ataques, que como nos decía este que vimos ayer es el peor probablemente de este año, pero nos dice que ocurren constantemente todos los días ataques así alrededor del territorio ucraniano.
Con los ataques, como bien lo escuchamos, muchos refugios han sido destruidos. ¿Hay algún plan de acogida en otros países para los niños que han quedado huérfanos o en situación de riesgo?
As part of the attacks, many of the kids' refugees have been damaged. Is there any type of program right now that allows other countries to help these kids that have been left without parents and without a home in Ukraine?
We'd say the children are implementing a wide range of programs, and especially to those children who have been left unaccompanied throughout this war. There is a lost parents who have been separated from them and cannot reunite. And we are doing everything that is in our power to, first and foremost, to reunify those families if there is a possibility to bring a child back to their parents or parents to their child. And also we are running various types of child protection programs aimed at improving children's well-being and resilience. And as well, we are running individual case management, which prevents family separation in some sort, because we are supporting families that ended up in acute need because of this war. So we are supporting them with various kinds of assistance that includes cash, legal assistance as well, providing various social services just to make sure the child remains in family. It has everything that they need, everything they they have everything they need to continue their growth and development and to prosper and thrive in their family, because we believe at Save the Children that when child is with their parents, with their family, it's the safest place, and they are less subjected to various kinds of violence like trafficking and abuse and so on.
Pues nos dice que ellos están implementando diferentes programas para apoyar a esos niños que son separados de sus padres y sus familias. Están haciendo todo lo que está en su alcance para reunificar a estas familias. Si pueden hacerlo, llevar a estos niños a sus padres o a sus padres a los niños. Entonces, todo esto tipo de programas de protección, ellos esperan que mejore la resiliencia de los niños en Ucrania, prevenir también la separación de estas familias. Ellos apoyan a las familias con diferente tipo de asistencia, de dinero, asistencia legal, nos dice también servicios sociales para que los niños puedan continuar con sus familiares, tengan todo lo que necesitan para continuar su desarrollo, su crecimiento y puedan prosperar dentro de su núcleo familiar, porque creen en Save the Children que pues un niño está mucho más seguro con su familia, ese es el lugar más seguro para ellos y ahí pueden evitar la violencia como abusos y otros tipos de violencia como tráfico, por ejemplo.
A propósito de eso, él menciona el tema del tráfico. ¿Han identificado ellos que aprovechándose del horror de la guerra se haya incrementado el tema de tráfico de menores en Ucrania?
Speaking precisely about that, about children trafficking, have you guys been able to see an increase in children traffic among the war? Now that everything is happening with the war and everything's, you know, a bit in chaos, do you believe that there has been an increase in the number of children trafficking?
We haven't heard any such reports that would suggest there is a systematic increase in child trafficking. If we are talking specifically about children that might have been forcibly taken to Russia, there are there are several grey areas. First of all, we don't know precisely how many children have been removed because we only have possessed data from various governments, and there is no unified, verified number about it. And the absence of political dialogue, it only complicates process of identifying those children and reunifying them with those families. And in this case, we emphasize that third-party diplomacy, the involvement of third parties of in the process of reunification of families is highly important. And we have seen the example of Qatar helping mitigate, facilitate this process has been very, very effective. And this is what needs to be emphasized moving forward in this case.
No han escuchado, pues nos dice que los reportes que hay son de los niños que han sido forzados a ir a Rusia a diferentes áreas, no saben precisamente cuántos niños, nos dice que hay datos que no son unificados, no hay una cifra en absoluto porque vienen desde diferentes fuentes, entonces es muy difícil identificar a estos niños para poder unirlos a sus familias en este, digamos, contexto de guerra. Entonces reiteran la importancia de la diplomacia y el papel que han realizado terceros para poder facilitar esta reunificación de las familias. Es un proceso bastante importante y da el ejemplo de Qatar, que ha facilitado mucho también este proceso y ha sido efectivo, y cree que debemos seguir moviéndonos hacia esa dirección.
Usted dice que el ataque de ayer es de los más grandes, pero que hay ataques y muertos todos los días. ¿Sienten a veces que el mundo se ha ido olvidando de esa tragedia y solo miramos cuando hay ataques como el de ayer?
You said that yesterday's attack was perhaps one of the deadliest, but you guys have attacks every day. Do you believe that the world perhaps has forgotten a bit about what's happening in Ukraine and only looks back when big attacks like the one yesterday happened?
We think that the issue is child rights adherence in Ukraine has been beyond the spotlight throughout the entire duration of this war. But it is important that the world pays attention to what's happening in Ukraine, just because we need to make sure that the perpetrators against children, those who commit those attacks, are held accountable for those actions. And we have several mechanisms to do that, like International Criminal Court. And this is it. And also, we need to make sure that the world and the parties to this war, they prioritize adherence to international humanitarian law, because the rules of war are quite simple, and they say children should be protected from attack and essential objects that relate to children should be protected from attack at all times. I mean, schools and hospitals. And it goes on to say that the missiles need to stop flying about people's heads, because the predominant amount of casualties, civilian casualties, I mean, in Ukraine have been caused by airstrikes in populated areas. And this is what taking people's lives, and it hinders civil population opportunities.
Thank you so much for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure having you in our show, and we hope the situation gets much better in Ukraine. Bueno, él dice que ese es el problema, y el problema es el foco y los niños en Ucrania, que debemos prestarle mucha atención, y debe ser un foco importante en esta guerra. Nos dice que hay que asegurarse de que los responsables de estos ataques contra los niños paguen por haberlos hecho, y nos dice que hay muchos mecanismos para hacerlos, como por ejemplo la Corte Internacional de Justicia. El mundo tiene que priorizar la ley humanitaria, que es bastante simple con respecto a los niños. Hay que protegerlos de la guerra, no pueden ser objetos de ataques, por eso no son, digamos, bien vistos estos ataques a colegios y a hospitales, y la mayoría de los civiles que han muerto en esta guerra son por estos ataques aéreos por parte de misiles, así que estos tipos de ataques se deben evitar en estas áreas donde hay civiles.